Hello and welcome, friends and creatives. Welcome back to another episode of Talent Talks, where we have bite-sized, honest conversations about how entrepreneurs can build a business that still honors their values, energy, and puts money in the bank. Today, we're digging into a question that I promise every single creative has wrestled with at some point. Am I doing enough? Underneath that question are all sorts of mental spirals, at least for me. It's, should I be working harder? Should I be taking bigger risks? Should I be scaling faster? Am I behind? If you've ever felt that mix of ambition, cappuccino-induced anxiety, and slow-rolling dread, you're not alone. Today, we're going one level deeper because this question often correlates directly with how we view and analyze risk when it comes to our business. So in this episode, we'll talk about how you know when it's time to take a risk, how to analyze risk logically instead of emotionally, and how to make sure you're not chasing do more faster out of fear, but building wisely. So let's get into it. Okay, spoiler alert. Entrepreneurship has no finish line, and this is the trap of quote-unquote doing enough. There's no boss giving you gold stars, no manager saying, good job, you're pacing things so well. It's just you, your own ambition, anxiety, and self-comparison. That's why so many creatives overcompensate by trying to do more. More offers, more launches, more content, projects, learning. While all of it is well and good, we're often not actually lacking action, we're lacking certainty. Mix that in with the inability to measure success with raw data yet, and your brain automatically substitutes busyness for progress. You can burn enormous amounts of energy chasing unnecessary growth, not because your business needs it, but because you're trying to quiet that little workaholic inside your head. So let's talk about what your most valuable asset is, and I'm not talking about money. Especially in your early years, time is your most valuable asset. You need time to find your audience, refine your offerings, test your messaging, build systems, learn your market's actual behavior, and most importantly, pivot and then pivot several times more. The longer you can give yourself space to build safely, the stronger your foundation will be. But when you chase every single shiny maybe opportunity just to feel like you're doing enough, you end up sacrificing future flexibility. This is what I call risk debt. You take on unnecessary risks too soon, and suddenly you're hustling in survivor mode instead of building with intention. Paul Graham, founder of Y Combinator, says it beautifully. Do things that don't scale. In your early years, your job isn't about scaling fast. It's about learning deeply, to do the messy, slow work and figuring out what actually works for your business and what works for you. I learned this the hard way when I started my online store. I wanted the most products for customers to choose from and started chasing really unnecessary trends instead of focusing on a niche where I could have actually brought some actual utility. Did I end up having over 300 plus products in my store? Yes. Did I also end up barely breaking even because I was paying to renew products that I never actually saw a return from instead of focusing on products that were successful? Also, yes. So let's talk about the myth of the big leap. We've all seen these narratives, or more specifically, that one TikTok quote at 3 a.m. with some random business dude in the background looking at his Rolex with a quote saying, quit your day job and chase your dreams. Leap and the net will appear. Share this post with 5 friends and you'll become a millionaire tomorrow. But when you study how most successful founders approach risk, what you see is something very different, and it's called strategic timing. Take, for example, the founder of Apple Macintosh, Steve Jobs. He didn't leave his day job at Atari the moment he had an idea for Apple. He worked full-time while building Apple in his garage, waiting until it had proven demand, a boatload of early adopters, and investor backing. He only left Atari when the risk of staying full-time was greater than the risk of going all-in on Apple. We also see this with Bill Gates. He built Microsoft on the side while at Harvard, but waited until he secured a massive contract with IBM, giving him both a financial cushion and credibility in the field, before dropping out and going full-time. My last example might be lesser known, but still incredibly influential. And that's Sarah Blakely, founder of Spanx, and someone who sold fax machines door-to-door while building her prototype for years. She didn't quit her day job until Spanx had multiple manufacturers, a solid product distribution plan, trademarks, and early sales from Spanx being available at Neiman Marcus. So, what's the common denominator? They all calculated the risk-to-reward ratio and took a logical, thoughtful step to move forward on something that was clearly showing signs of growth. When it was finally time to go all in, it wasn't a risk. It was a calculated decision. It's also worth looking at examples of high-risk approaches that nearly went very wrong. Let's look at Elon Musk. Love him or hate him, he invested nearly all of his PayPal earnings into Tesla, SpaceX, and SolarCity simultaneously. For years, all three hovered near bankruptcy. Even Musk admitted that his all-in stacking of major risks nearly destroyed all of his companies multiple times. And in the creative world, you see this as well. Kanye West, for example, rushed into fashion, housing, education ventures, and tech startups, often without fully stabilizing his business infrastructure or validating demand. Many of those ventures collapsed under legal, financial, or operational strain, despite his immense creative talent. The lesson isn't that risk is bad, it's that compounding uncalculated risk too early creates instability that even talent can't come back from. I'd also like to note, both of these individuals had a good deal of cushion to fall back on. They weren't going to lose their homes or wouldn't be able to buy food for themselves if these ideas didn't pan out. In a way, they too calculated that they were able to take these risks and still come out, quote unquote, on top due to their financial cushion, which, let's be real, a lot of us don't have to fall back on. So how do you know when it's time to take a real risk? Here's the framework that I always come back to. Number one, what's the worst case scenario? And can I recover? If everything fails, can I land on my feet? Is this a survivable experiment? Number two, what's the time horizon? Will I have enough data? Can I test this with 3 or 6 months and reassess with real feedback? Number three, is it reversible or is this choice irreversible? Can I pivot if this doesn't work or is this a one-way decision? And number four, does this risk buy me more time or steal time from me? Some risks give you breathing room, others force you into a corner you never wanted to be in. For example, taking on a stable retainer while building your business, I'd say this is a smart risk. It builds you time. Quitting client work to launch an untested offer, high risk, forces pressure prematurely. Saying no to draining clients to reclaim creative energy, smart risk, scary in the moment, but expands capacity long term. So let's circle back to the original question. How do you know if you're doing enough? Here's a simple gut checklist that I do that helps me figure out if I'm doing enough or if I'm just in my head. So one, you're consistently showing up, not perfectly, but steadily. Two, you're testing, learning, and adjusting, not endlessly planning. Three, you're honoring your boundaries, not sacrificing your well-being. Four, you have clear goals, but you're not chasing busy work for validation. And five, you feel challenged, but not chronically anxious or resentful. If you're nodding along to most of these, you're doing enough. Good job. Growth doesn't always feel dramatic. Sometimes it's just showing up, stacking small wins, and letting the compound effect do its quiet work. If you're in a season where you're asking, should I push harder? Should I take this risk? Am I behind? Pause, breathe, and check in with yourself. Ask yourself if this risk is informed or driven by anxiety, if you're preserving your time or burning it to chase false senses of urgency, and if that move creates calm or is creating chaos. Sometimes the best and most difficult thing to do is to wait until you feel like you can make a logical, non-emotional, response-based choice. Remember, smart risk-taking isn't about hustle, It's about preserving your creative runway, allowing yourself the time to make mistakes, learn from those mistakes, and build something even more sustainable long-term. You don't have to earn your worth through exhaustion. You're allowed to build patiently, intentionally, and with integrity. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you want help walking through your next big decision, I've created a free resource to pair with this episode. It's called the Risk Reflection and Analysis Prompt. It's a guide exercise to help you analyze risk logically, not emotionally, and protect your time. Grab it for free at kocreativeagency.com under the Tools for Creatives tab. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time on Talent Talks.